accidents this morning when we had some thundering lightning. Got ready to print my lesson and the printer crashed. So I will do the best I can with what I have to work with. And I can certainly tell you that this is very unusual for me. When you kind of reach that age, that technology just sometimes doesn't agree. So anyway, we'll do the best we can. The lesson today has to do with the purpose of John's gospel. And I tell you, the study of the book of John has been very good. And you'll see as we go through some of this information. I got to tell you, I've been looking at this now for about 3 or 4 weeks, and I have read that there is a lot of information concerning the Gospel of John. The text comes from John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, and also John 21, 24, and 25. There in chapter 20 and verse 30, it begins, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name." And then in verse chapter 21 and verse 24, there it says, "This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So, as we've studied the book of John and everything, and as we've gone through the information, I think the most crucial question that anyone needs to answer correctly from the Bible is the one that Jesus asked his disciples back in Matthew 16 and verse 15. There it says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered that question by divine revelation in Matthew 16 and verse 16. There he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If Jesus is who the Bible says he is and who he claims to be, the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the only reasonable and sensible response is to trust him as your Savior from sin and judgment and to follow him as your Lord. If he is not who the Bible says he is, then you're wasting your time being a Christian because you're following a liar and a lunatic. Those are pretty strong words. The Apostle John may have been thinking of Peter's confession when he told us why he wrote his gospel. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, again it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So, John is not trying to make us believe in some general notion about Jesus, such as he was a good man, or he was a great teacher, or even a prophet of God. John wants us to believe specifically that Jesus is the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Anointed One, who was prophesied in the Old Testament. He wants us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which means he is God in human flesh, according to chapter 5, verse 18 through verse 29. The height of faith in John's gospel is when Thomas sees the risen Savior and proclaims, "My Lord and my God." This is a lot of background, or there is a lot of background information on the book of John. And I encourage you to dig in and to read as much of it as you can. But for this lesson, I'm going to limit our study to this statement. The Gospel of John is a selective, symbolic, eyewitness account of the person and the ministry of Jesus, written so that you may believe in him as the Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name. There's a story about a new convert who went to the preacher and he asked that he show him an example of the milk of the Word. The preacher told him that John 3:16 was a good example of the milk of the Word. He said, "Well, show me an example of the meat of the Word." And again, the preacher said that John 3:16 was an example of the meat of the Word. Many authors mention that the Gospel of John is like a pool in which both a child can wade and also an elephant can swim. It's both simple and it's profound. On one level, a child can understand and respond to John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But on the other level, scholars have written articles and many books wrestling with some of the issues in the Gospel of John. So, wherever we are spiritually, there is something for all of us in this Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a selective account of this person and ministry of Jesus. None of the four Gospels are what we call biographies of Jesus in the sense that all of them cover his life and his birth, but rather are selective and they're interpretive. They're interpretive accounts of his person and his ministry. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they have much that is similar, although they have a different perspective than what the Gospel of John has. Matthew wrote primarily to the Jews, emphasizing that Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. Mark, on the other hand, probably wrote from Rome under Peter's influence. He emphasizes Jesus as the Son of Man who came and served and give his life a ransom for many. We know that Luke was written by a physician and that he was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. His gospel is aimed at the Gentiles and emphasizes Jesus Christ's humanity. References say that John's Gospel has 93% original material compared to the Synoptic Gospels. In John 20 and verse 30, John acknowledged that there were many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John ends his Gospel in John 21 and verse 25, and he says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So John is selective. In John 1 and verse 1 through verse 3, he begins in eternity, identifying Jesus as God and Creator. He omits many things that the other Gospels contain. For instance, there is no mention of the birth of Jesus, no mention of his baptism, no mention of his temptations. There is no list of the 12 disciples. There are no stories of Jesus casting out demons and no parables, except maybe the parable of Jesus, the true shepherd, in John chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 6. John tells us he saw the glory of Jesus in chapter 1 and verse 14, but he doesn't mention the transfiguration, even though he was one of the eyewitnesses at that event. John gives us the longest and most detailed account of events in the upper room on the night Jesus was betrayed, but never mentions the Lord's Supper. He doesn't tell us about the agony of Jesus in the garden, although from John we learn that it was Peter that cut off Malchus's ear. Some of the things that are unique to John include his direct statement that Jesus is the eternal God who created all things. He alone says that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God in chapter 3, verse 16 and also verse 18. He tells us the first miracle of turning the water into wine in chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. He alone includes the meetings with Nicodemus and with the woman at the well in chapters 3 and chapter 4. He tells us of Jesus' healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4, verse 46 through 54. He tells about the lame man by the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 15. And he also tells us about the man born blind. John alone records Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, verse 1 through 44. John tells us of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and his teaching in the upper room where he gives the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We don't read these in the other Gospels. John records the longest prayer of Jesus in chapter 17. He tells of Thomas' doubts in chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, and of the disciples meeting with the risen Lord on the beach of Galilee. John carefully chose all of these events and much more to give us the selective insider's portrait of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The Gospel of John is a symbolic account of this person and ministry of Jesus. The book is full of symbolic language that makes you stop and think about the deeper meaning of what he is saying. What John reports actually happened, but there is often a deeper significance behind the historical facts. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they spoke of miracles and wonders. John calls them signs. That's what you read in chapter 20 and verse 30. It says many other signs Jesus also performed. A sign points to something beyond itself. John wants us to perceive the deeper meaning behind the miracle itself. One of the hundreds that John could have chosen, he picked seven signs. Not counting the resurrection of Jesus and the miracle catch of fish after the resurrection in chapter 21, verse 1 through 14 that Brother Duane talked about this morning. These seven signs that were chosen were changing the water into wine, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, the healing of the nobleman's son, chapter 4, verse 46 through 54, healing the lame man by the pool of Bethesda, in chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 9. The feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6, 1 through 14. Walking on the water, chapter 6, 16 through 21. Healing the man that was born blind in chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. And raising Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, verse 1 through 46. In three of the miracles, we don't have to guess as to their significance because Jesus tells us. After he feeds the 5,000, Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Before opening the eyes of the man born blind, Jesus emphasizes in chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. And before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. These are three of the seven I am claims that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. The others are, he said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I am the true vine. each case, we need to think about the symbolism of what Jesus is saying about himself and how it relates to us. The Gospel of John was an eyewitness account of the person and ministry of Jesus. Jesus states in chapter 20 and verse 30 of our text, he says again, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples." John himself was an eyewitness to these events that he reports, plus many others whom John knew. This establishes the truth of these events. There's some dispute whether John wrote the gospel or not. Just as there is a dispute that Paul, in writing some of his epistles. J. Vernon McGee, in his Through the Bible on the Book of John, says that he took a class in seminary on the authorship of John. The professor finally concluded the course by saying that he thought John was the author. There was a man in the back of the room in the class that said, "Well, I believe John wrote it before I started this class, and I believe it now. So I've just wasted this semester." Anyway, there is credible internal and external evidence that John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John. The internal evidence refers to many indicators in the book itself that it was written by an eyewitness and that the eyewitness was John, who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved in chapter 20, verse 20 and also 24. The external evidence refers to the early church fathers such as Irenaeus, Tertullian, and Clement of Alexandria, who confirm that John wrote this gospel. In a book entitled Introduction to the New Testament by Everett Harrison, Irenaeus said that in his early days he used to sit in Polycarp's house and listen to him talk about his talks with John and others who had seen the Lord. This is solid evidence that John wrote this gospel. The Gospel of John is written so that you may believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John has written not that we would believe in generalities, but in specific, true content, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, so that we would have eternal life and all that he is. In spite of the strong evidence, people divide over Jesus. Even after he raised Lazarus from the dead, many believed, but others went away and told the Pharisees and reported on what Jesus had done, with the results that they increased their effort to kill him. John 11:45 through verse 53. The raising of Lazarus clearly proved that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But that didn't stop the Pharisees from wanting to kill him. Sin is not rational. In closing, so we're back to that crucial question that everyone needs to answer correctly from the Bible. The one Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" If Jesus is who he says he is and who he claimed to be, the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the only sensible response is to trust him as your Savior from sin and judgment and to follow him as your Lord. If there's anyone subject to the gospel call, we need to come as we stand and sing.